Let's begin in the following way. Just mention that there's a debate, or that there's a discussion, in a case of Yatza Motzi, of Tkia Shofar, how exactly, or who exactly will make, the bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tavkuf Pehei, Sif Beis, Kodim Sheitaka Yivarech Lishma Kol Shofar, B'Yivarech Shechianu, Haga, Ein Chiluk Beinim Yivarech La'atzmo, this is the Ramah, O Shekvar Yatza, U'Mivarech Lahotzi Acherin. Afilohachi Mivarech Atokea, Shtei Brachos, HaNizkaros. So the Ramah, that's what the Ramah was referring to in Tavkuf Kuf Pei Tes Sivav. Referring back to, he says, look at what I wrote in Tav Kuf Pei Hei Sif Beis. The Ramah says that the Mevarech, that the Tokeya rather, is the Mevarech. The source for this is, he himself says, Beis Yosef with Trumas Hadesh. The Beis Yosef on the tour quotes the Trumas Hadesh in Simen Ayin. Basically what the Trumas Hadesh and the Beis Yosef quotes him as saying are as follows. You would think that in such a case, the Shomea should make the bracha. But the minog is that the Tokeya is Mevarech, and therefore we're not going to fight with the minog. That's really what the Trumas Hadeshen and the Beis Yosef say. Now, they're aware that there might be an issue or a problem here, and nonetheless, they're sticking with their guns. Now, it's not clear whether or not this is permitted, or the Trumas Hadeshen and Beis Yosef are sticking with their view, and the Ramah, for that matter, who brings it down, and suggesting not only is it permissible to do it this way, but it is preferable to do it this way. To me, at least, it sounds like the minug is a preferred minug, even though we're acknowledging that there's some problem with it. The Magen Avraham and Shagas Aryeh in particular really didn't like this minug, and they said, no, even the Beis Yosef and the Trumas Hadeshen, only Lamish ain't a baki, but Lamish of baki, like Anoshim or Anoshim Bekiim, it would be better not to do this. Not to do this meaning they should blow shofar for themselves. It sounds like they should be Mavarech. Somebody who's capable of being Mavarech should also be Mavarech for himself. And there are many poskim who say that the preferred way to do this, like the Trumas Hadeshen and Beis Yosef themselves, originally argued, is that the Shomea should make the bracha. The Chayadam, and this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as well, says, quotes this, quotes the, you know, the view of the Magen Avraham and Shagas Aryeh and others, and says, however, the truth is you can pretty much do anything you want. Okay. I think generally in the world out there, the Noheg is mostly that if it's possible that the Shomea makes the bracha. What is going on here exactly? What is this issue? What are these three shitas all about? I picked this topic since we were obviously doing related topics, but I want to analyze it from a shofar standpoint as well. The general background, of course, but before I say anything else, I should also add that even though the Ramah says that this applies to both brachos, there's a separate discussion whether or not to be mechalek between the bracha of Shmoa called shofar and Shechiyam. The Beis Yosef already discusses this. After all, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perakid Aleph, says that when you do something on behalf of someone else, right, you never make a Shechayanu for them. If you build someone else's ma'aka, right, or put up their mezuzah, or build their sukkah, so then you don't make the Shechayanu. You do not make the Shechayanu. Maybe no one makes a Shechayanu, or the other person makes it, but the person who the shliach, the one who's motzi osam, he's not going to make the shechiyam. So the Yosef says, so according to that, maybe what you'd have a situation is that the tokeya would make the bracha, right, on shofar, but he wouldn't make the shechiyam. And then the question would be whether the shomea would make the shechiyam or no one would make the shechiyam. Then the Yosef says, however, maybe, and the Magen Avraham also makes allusion to this, he says we don't know what the rule is with regard to Shechiyanu, and then the later poskim, the Pri Chadosh, Pri Megadim, others, they say no, even the Rambam would agree, comes from earlier again, the Taz and others, that maybe there's a difference between a Maisa and a Mitzvah Shal Dibur B'Kol, or maybe there's a difference between a very personal Mitzvah, like maka and mezuzah and so on, so no one else can make a shechiyanu for you, or bonus sukkah even. Mashenkein, something that has to do with the Kedushas Hayom, which applies to all of Klal Yisrael, then Yatsamotzi will apply even to Shechiyanu. So there's a separate discussion whether or not you could be mechalek between Shechiyanu and the bracha itself. Okay, so what's really going on? So partially the background to this issue is what we've been discussing, which is there any problem lechatchila separating a bracha from the act of the mitzvah itself? Right? Partially that could be the debate between the, you know, between the Rishonim. Again, the Taz didn't think so. The Taz assumed that everybody would agree that the Chatchila, one should never separate a Maisa Mitzvah from a Bracha. Well, the question is this a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, in which case there's no problem. But anytime you have a Birchas Mitzvah, you should try to integrate and fuse together the two. Okay. That was the Taz. The Taz thought that was true for the Rambam and the Rosh as well. We tried to explain that it really doesn't work well for the Rambam and the Rosh. So if the Rambam and the Rosh think that L'Chatchila, a person could be shochet, and someone else can make the bracha, obviously they feel that there's no problem separating bracha from the mitzvah in the context of yatzah motzi. Okay. So this seems to be a debate about yatzah motzi separating bracha from mitzvah. Of course, even the Taz went in one extreme. Even the Arzarua and the Shach, perhaps one could say, we're only bothered about the splitting of bracha from a mitzvah in the context of, you know, a mitzvah which isn't a chovas hagavra. Right, but a chovas hagavra, maybe they too would not be bothered by this issue or this problem. Okay, that's just a little background and context, which unquestionably is relevant here as well. However, there's another wrinkle in this particular shofar context, and that is, in the case of Shechita or other cases like it, you have the bracha and you have the mitzvah. But the Maisa mitzvah and the Kima mitzvah are one and the same. Right, so the question is, you have the Maisa mitzvah and the Kima mitzvah on one side, and the question is, can somebody else provide the bracha? Here in Shofar, you have an additional complication. That is, you have a Maisa mitzvah, or a Maisa, let's call it, of Tkiya Shofar, and then you have the Kiyama mitzvah of Shmias HaShofar, and then you have the bracha. And here the question isn't whether you separate the bracha from the mitzvah, but is it better to integrate the bracha with the tkiya or with the Shmia? Now you may have a parallel situation in Megillah, right? There too you could have the situation, so you're reading Megillah on behalf of someone else, so you have a Maisa, and you have a Shmia. The Dagel Mervava in Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Kiveger, Alatar, you know, printed on the Shulchan Aruch, says, yeah, this discussion is parallel to the discussion about Megillah. However, maybe that's not so simple either. In both cases, you have a person doing the pe'ula, and you have people listening, and you have a bracha. And the question is, where does the bracha go? That's true. However, to complicate the matters a little bit further, the question we have to ask in each case is, what is the real role of the action, and what is the role of the Shmia? And as far as that is concerned, Megillah and Shofar may be identical, or maybe not, and in either direction. Right? So we're not discussing Megillah right now, but we know that there's an issue in Megillah, how much is it Kriya and how much is it Shmia? On the other hand, it seems the preponderance of evidence is, in the context of Megillah, that the Kriya is Ikar. Maybe Nashim only have Shmia, and that would complicate, again, the application to Nashim, maybe one step even beyond Tkiya Shofar. But in the case of Anashim, it seems like it's a mitzvah of Kriya, which you fulfill through Shomei Ka'onen. But it is a mitzvah of Kriya. Shofar, most Rishonim Paskin, is a mitzvah of Shmia. And on the contrary, there is no Shomea Ka'one on the Tkiya, which makes it better and worse, right, compared to Megillah, without going into more detail. So one could challenge, perhaps, Rabbi Kiveger's assumption that these are exactly the same thing. Whatever you're going to say in one case, you're going to say in the other. No, the relationship between the components might be different, and that might make everything different. To put it in clearer terms, if we pass from the Karbeinu Tam, who seems to say that the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is the tkiyah, so the idea there would be more of a reason, you know, for the tokeya to be mevarach. But since most Rishonim paskin, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, paskin that the mitzvah of shofar is shmiya and not tkiyah, so why dafka would we want the tokeya? That we might allow the tokeya to be mevarach would be one thing, but is it possible that there'd be a preference for the tokeya to be mevarach, even though the mitzvah is shmiya and the nusach habracha itself reflects the shmiya? How could that be? Now this part of it always bothered me, and I was looking today that the Machzor Shekel on the Magen Avraham brings up a little bit at least. He says, yeah, I mean, if it's a mitzvah of shmiya and that's the bracha, so why would anybody think that the tokeya, when you split the tokeya and the shmiya, again, let me make it clear, in a regular situation where no one has yet fulfilled his obligation, so that the preference is that the tokeya should be the mevarech, makes perfect sense. Right? Not everybody has to make the bracha separately. That's a tosefta that we discussed the other day. Right? The tosefta says if you have many people doing a mitzvah, one person can be mevarech for the rest of them. So then, although it's an interesting question, right? Is there a preference that dafka the tokeya be mevarech? What about one of the others? Show me and make the bracha. Certainly the tokeya is not worse than the other shomim, and as we'll discuss, maybe if we can prove that maybe he's a little better, you know, that would be nice. But even if the tokeya is better than the other shomim, when he too is a shomeya, but once he's fulfilled his mitzvah, we're talking about yatzamotzi, so we have a fresh shomeya, you know, why ever would we choose a tokeya over a shomeya? A tokeya shekvar yatza yidei chavasa. Now this is, I think, a very serious question. And the fact is, as I say, that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they paskin shmiya and not tkiya. I think I'm going to suggest here several things. Number one, just because with the Nusach HaBracha is shmiya, does that really mean that the tkiya is not part of the mitzvah, or not part of the Ikar mitzvah? So that's not so clear. There are some formulations already in the late Rishonim and early Achronim that suggest that Tkiya Shofar is an integrated mitzvah of Tkiya and Shmiya. The fact is, there's some evidence that even for the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, you cannot dismiss the Tkiya. Right? All the Achronim ask, if indeed the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is Shmiya, so how come you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah Yidei Tkiyas or Misasek? That question is not so difficult to answer. One can always say that even if the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Shmiya, that's what the Achronim pretty much answer in different ways, but basically they're all getting the same idea. Even if the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Shmiya, it's a mitzvah of Shmiya Schefza Shol Kol Shofar. Not the musical note, right, but the halachic note, the quotation marks of Tkiyas Shofar. And it's not shmias kol shofar unless it's produced by a bar chiyuva l'shem mitzvahs shofar. So that if you hold mitzvahs trichos kavana, so not only cher shot of a katan who are mufka from the mitzvah, they can pray the melody, they can simulate kol shofar, but they can't really create a halachic cheftesho kol shofar. But the same may be true of misasek, or a person who's not miskaven if you hold mitzvahs trichos kavana, that isn't really a kol shofar. The problem is when you go beyond that, because halacha is that you need kavanas shomea umashmia, which basically means that if I'm blowing shofar for myself, but I don't want to include you, right? The tzibur shouldn't make me the baltkia. That's an explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But the reason that they shouldn't is because it would exclude you from fulfilling your obligation. In other words, I can have kavana for myself, but not to be motzi acherim. Now there you can't say that the chefta shol kol is not a kol shofar, because otherwise I wouldn't fulfill my own obligation in shmiya. So I've produced a chefta shol kol shofar, and yet it seems that I can prevent the shomim from fulfilling their obligation. Right? That's already much more difficult piece of evidence to turn your back on. Moreover, there are less damaging, but I think, you know, at minimum, very interesting pieces of evidence that at least reflect a certain stature, a certain yichus to the Baal Tkiyah. For example, the Rav Haigon discusses, Gonim discusses question, Rambam quotes it, the diuk of Rav Haigon, originally based on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that it sounds like there should be only one Baal Tokeya, ideally. Okay, some shuls, you know, you don't have a choice, and we'll discuss what happens in a minute, but sometimes some shuls, they know in advance, they have to split up between Tkiyas Tamiumad and Tkiyas Tamiyushav. I guess either the lung power or the artistry of the Baal Tkiyah is more limited. But the Chatchila for Haigon was Medayik from the Mishnah, and on the base of the base, we talk about the Matkiyah, Rambam quotes it as well, that there should be one Tokeya. Now, if the mitzvah of Shmiyah is all that there is, except that you need a Chefta Shol Kol Shofar, so that the Tkiyah is nothing more than a Hechetimtzi to create that Chefta Shol Kol Shofar, then why do we really care, you know, whether it's one Baal Tkiyah or 100? Not everybody did. I'll read you the words of the Torah in a minute. But even the words of the Tur are based on a kind of yichus for the Tkiyah, just not in the same way. But the Rav Haigon and the Rambam, who think that l'chatchila there should be one Tokeya, certainly seem to be giving some stature. Unless you say it's a side halacha, kolamatchil, you know, b'mitzvah, omrim lo gemar, but even then, it isn't really the mitzvah, it's a hechetimtzi, who says that the rule that applies to a regular Maisa and Kima Mitzvah applied to a physical act is to produce a Totsah. The Rambam and Rav Haigon go even further. There are 3 days in the Gonim whether or not there's a problem of being gamafsik between the Tkiyos once you've done the minimum. Right? Some say no problem at all. Right? The rabbi in every shul gets up and says you're not allowed to speak, you know, from the first call till the 100. That's good. The rabbi should say that. The Rambam paskins, like one day in the Gonim, and that is that you're mechalek between the Baal Tkiyah and everybody else. The Shomim, right? B'dieved, you know, they can be mafsi. But the Baal Tkiyah, he should not. That's very strange. I mean, why does the Baal Tkiyah have yichus that goes beyond the Shomim? After all, he's just producing a hechetimtzi kol, heftzishol kol, not just the musical note, but still, why should it be beyond that? Let's take it a step further. There's a machlokas arishonim, and the poskim. B'dieved, let's say you had the nusach habracha of litkoa or altkias shofar. You used Rabbeinu Tam's nusach, according to our Shulchan Aruch Psak, of Shmir. Would it work or not? So the Bach says that he thinks that b'dieved it would work, and the Magen Avraham paskins that way in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Pashtus, other Rishonim, will tell you that it's a bracha levatala. The Pri Chadash says it explicitly. He says, I don't understand why the Magen Avraham, you know, accepts this Bach. We paskin it's a mitzvah shmiya. Then saying tkiya is useless. It seems, at least could be, that the argument is, to what extent is tkiya just a heksher of yitziras hakol, or is it more than that, even according to this mandama? Is there really a lechatchila that dafka the tokeya should make the bracha, any more than any other shomea in the crowd? I think that too is an interesting question. Our practice is that the tokeya makes the bracha. But the question really is, if he's only producing a call, then why? But it goes even further than that. What if the Baal Tkiyah makes the bracha, and then it just doesn't go? He can't get even one call out of the shofar. So what happens then? So the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch say as a Davar Pashut, it's no problem. Somebody else can take over, and they can do the Tkiyos. It's not going to be an issue. However, the Rav Yah was not so certain about it. the Rav Yo is mistapek, at least with regard to the Baal Tzkiya himself, maybe he has to make another bracha, maybe for him it was a bracha levatala. Again, it's an interesting question, almost paralleling again something that we saw in Shkita. Let's say A, you know, is doing Shkita on his behemos, and you want to catch his bracha based on the Tosefta, but he's shochet nevelos, you know, will it work for you? Right? Or, let's say the shochet himself, his first animal is a nevela, you know, after he made the bracha, can he still use the bracha for other animals? But again, it's a parallel circumstance. It doesn't mean it's going to be the same halacha based on the issues that we've been discussing. In terms of the issue right before us, is there any yichus to this bracha, which is all with Shema Kol Shofar, essentially? And so what? He can't get any tzkiyos out. But is he worse than any other shomei on the crowd? Is it important for either the crowd or for himself that he be able to follow through and actually blow some of the kolos? So again, Tur and Shulchan Aruch say no, it isn't at all. But the Tur has a funny formulation. Right? Let me step back. So again, the Rav Yo number one says, I'm the stopek, maybe it's really important, at least for him individually, if not for the tzibur. If that's true, it would imply that there is a certain yichus for the tokeh making the bracha, at least vis-a-vis himself. At least it's different for himself when he makes the bracha, l'shem tkia, then his birchas shmia is compromised by not being able to follow through. That's a remarkable kind of halacha. But even if we don't accept that, and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch and most Rishonim don't, so good, there's no bracha levatala. But what's fascinating is the Tur has a lashon. Why is there no bracha levatala? There's no bracha levatala because for the tokeya himself, it's not going to be a bracha levatala because he'll simply stick around and he'll hear the guy who takes over, who assumes his position, he'll hear and he'll be yotze through him. That's what the Tur says. So the Beis Yosef asks, how come the Tur says such a funny, funny thing? Why not just say it's not a bracha levatala, even if he doesn't stick around? Let's say, you know, he got so frustrated or embarrassed, or he had an appointment, you know, and he just couldn't, you know, he tried for 20 minutes to get a call out of the shofar. By the way, one call or the minimum call? It's also a question, right? Based on what we discussed yesterday. But okay. He tried to get the call out, and it's 20 minutes already, and he has to be downtown, you know, maybe to give a shir, you know, not for any other reason. Or maybe he's, you know, Shliach Tzibur there, whatever it is. So he leaves. So the Tur, so the Beis Yosef says, that would make it a bracha levatala, just because he's not around to reap the benefit of his bracha as a shomeya. What about Yatza Motzi? Here it's a yatzamotzi before he's yotze. It's the yatzamotzi. He did the bracha. He did it for the tzibur. He did it for the next guy. He didn't do it for himself. Right? So yatzamotzi before he's really yotze. So what's the problem? That should work too. The Beis Yosef says, you know, it probably would. That's really probably what the Tur had in mind. The Bach says, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that Yatza Motzi, number one, I'm not so sure that Yatza Motzi works in a baki. Maybe it only works in an Eino Baki. An interesting question about Yatza Motzi generally. But in general, he says, you know, maybe we take literally this language of the Tur. The Taz in Sifkat and Gimel and Shulchan Aruch also seems to take it seriously. He says, yeah, the Havamina was that the bracha has to relate to the tokeya, to the original tokeya. He was mevarech b'taras tokeya. At least he has to fulfill his mitzvah. Otherwise, it'll be a bracha levatala for himself. Could one go even further and say, not only for himself, but for the tzibur? Now, the truth is that even the formulation of the Tur, so the Tur says, well, the fact is, he'll be Yotze. The Beis Yosef says, the Tokeya who assumes this position will be Yotze. That's sufficient. And that's what's meant here. Other poskim say that Tzibur HaShomim will be Yotze. Why am I telling you that? The middle position. Even the middle position is interesting. Do we care really more about the guy who picks up the shofar and saves the day more than the rest of the members of the Tzibur? I have to say that Tzibur eventually will be Nene from the bracha l'shmua kol shofar. It'll be relevant to them. So it's not a bracha l'vatala. It's not a bracha l'vatala for him, and it's not a bracha l'vatala for them. Is there some need, havamina for certain, and maybe even l'maskana, that somehow this bracha relates in a really meaningful way, either to the original, tokeya, or at least to the actual tokeya, the guy who takes his place, as opposed to simply the kahal hashomim? If there is, what it points to is that when we normally say that the tokeya should be mavarech, that isn't just give him the schut v'chora, he's spending the effort, let him make the bracha for the tzibur and be mezake as haravim. It's more than that. It sounds like, even though the mitzvah is shmia, right, this mitzvah shmia and this nusach habracha l'shmua kol shofar should dafka be related to the tokeya. And that surely is fascinating. The tour, as I mentioned, doesn't seem to require one, even the chatchila, one tokeya throughout. Okay. But when he describes the question of who should blow and how many should blow, so he describes different minhagim, and he says, he says that one minhag was dafka that they should split it up into different parts, and that different people should... Oh, here it is. Ela minhag rishonim shehayu zrizin b'mitzvah u'mechavin oson kol echad b'echad notel chelko kedei lekabel sachar. The dafka, the mitzvah, to have the minhag to spread it around. What do you mean kabel sachar? It's a hechetimtzi, right? V'chein kasav achi arav rabbeinu yechiel. V'chein od minag v'ashkenaz shegedolei ha'ir makdimin litkoa kol mishazariz b'yoser. And this is contrasted with svarad, mashen kem b'svarad, sheborchim min ha'mitzvah ad shetzrichim liskar echad min ha'shuk litkoa lahem. Wow. V'lo yadati ma'ayin matzu heter zeh ki nirali she'asur to be paid for tkiyah shofar, and that's a whole discussion. Can you get paid as a bal tkiyah? But these other shitos, which are, they used to split it up. How do they split it up exactly? Not a tkiyah, hopefully, in a shvarim and a truo. That gets you into the maisa shiva magensa. In each kol, each set, how would you split it up? But the idea that you would split it up as part of chivav mitzvah, or that, the Talmidei Chachamim, who were capable, I guess, would race to shul to see who could get there first. The idea that there's a din of Merutza Lakahal, a special one, on Tkiyah Shofar, all these point to the fact that the Tkiyah is important. Now, it could just be, there's Zrizim Makdim of the mitzvos, even for Heksher mitzvos, the more active you can be, the better it is, the nicer it is, it shows a certain Chivava mitzvos. Or is it something more? Is it something that has to do with the role of tkiyah shofar, despite the fact that we paskin shmiya not tkiyah? So what's going on here? So I think at minimum one could say two or three different things. One possibility is, I mentioned before, already some of the later Rishonim say this, that basically, even though the nusach habracha is l'shmua kol shofar, The mitzvah is a combination of tkiya and shmiya. Another way to say this, it might be nafkamina, but in the same general direction for our purposes at least, the famous sheet of Rav Chaim. But Rav Chaim really said it about Rabbeinu Tam, not about the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam's view that if we make the bracha, and the nusach bracha is tkiya shofar, so the Rav used to always say in the name of Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim felt that Rabbeinu Tam wasn't arguing against the Rambam about the nature of the mitzvah. That the argument was an argument in Hilchos Brachos. Question is, both agree that there is a Maisa mitzvah and there is a Kiyama mitzvah. The Maisa is Ayidei Tkiya and the Kiyama mitzvah is Ayidei Shmiya. Well, the question is, when you make a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, normally the Maisa and the Kiyama are together, which we pointed out when we were discussing our issue of Yatza Motzi, right? Here you have a circumstance where the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah are separate. One is Ayidei Tkiya, the other is Ayidei Shmiya. Which one gets the bracha? Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam really agrees with the Rambam. It doesn't really sound that way, to be honest, in most of the formulations of Rabbeinu Tam. Look at the Rav Yon, Sefer Yashar, etc. It sounds like he's really arguing about the mitzvah itself and that there are tangible nafkamina beyond the bracha, tokeya babar, all sorts of things, where there should really be nafkamina. But that's what Rav Chaim is to say. Even if one challenges it with regard to Rabbeinu Tam, is it possible that it's true with regard to the Rambam? Meaning the tkiya is a maisa mitzvah, even according to the Rambam, even if the kiyum is ayde shmiya. For example, there's a debate between, we talked this about this last year, those who were here last year, we talked about mitzvah bab avera. So we mentioned the debate between mentioning in honor of Noah, the debate between the Rambam and the Ritva, regarding tkiya shofar, if you have a shofar agazel, right? So whether you can be yotzei dechavas, so the Rambam says ein b'kol din gazel. After all, the mitzvah is shmiya. That's one of the Rambam's applications of shmiya and not tkiya. The Ritva also thinks that the mitzvah happens to be shmiya and that the bracha is l'shmoa kol shofar. Nonetheless, he thinks that a shofar agazel is a mitzvah b'avera. So it could be that the issue is where you have one cheftza that's connected to the maisa mitzvah, namely in this case the shofar, and another cheftza, the kol, which is related to the kiyama mitzvah. Does mitzvah babavera apply to one, the other, to both, etc.? This approach would help, again, to explain, you know, why it is, again, that misasek, not only misasek, but even mishein lo kavana lehashmiya, that too is a problem, because the tkiya has to relate to the shomim, it's the maisa mitzvah. And it would also explain the other phenomena that we discussed, namely why the tokeya has special yichus. He's the oseh ha-mitzvah, even though the kiyam ha-mitzvah is shava l'kulam. It would explain these various phenomena. I don't know if Reb Chaim was trying to, or he was even bothered by them, frankly, but I only know the Reb Chaim in connection to the Rabbeinu Tam side of it, but I think it would help to explain these other things. However, I think that even if we don't go that far, we might be able to understand the Rambam nonetheless. Or maybe this is another way to explain Rav Chaim. Last year, before Rosh Hashanah, I think it was last year, I think we discussed the question of the relationship between, Akiva will tell me, he usually remembers these things. What did we discuss last year? I don't remember. Anybody?
Yovel.
Okay, good. So I was right. So we discussed the relationship between shofar shel Yovel and shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Right? The fact is that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that the makar for chefta shel shofar really comes from Yovel, and the tkios, the pshutos lefaneha ulachareha, are borrowed from the world of Yovel. In Yovel, I think we noted then, it's clear that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is tkiya. So I think as a way of explaining this phenomenon, or even if you reject this phenomenon, maybe the mitzvah is fully the mitzvah of shmiya. And it's not that the maisa mitzvah is tkiya and the kiyama mitzvah is shmiya. But nonetheless, even though the focus of the mitzvah of tkiya b'Rosh Hashanah is shmiyas ha-trua, and shmiya works very well with trua. That's the whole point. It's the yevava, the bechi. It isn't producing it so much. it's responding and reacting to it that is crucial. Nonetheless, the fact is that Cheftah Shel Shofar and the Tkios, the Pshutos, the Fanao, El Achara, these all come from the world of Yovel. What we were trying to explain last year was that it's important to integrate, it's important for Yovel and it's important for Rosh Hashanah, albeit with different emphases, that there be this relationship. Because otherwise Rosh Hashanah is only about Bechi and Tzaka. We want the Bechi and Tzaka to be within a framework which produces hope and is connected to the Simcha of Yovel. The Yevava, whether it's Ginuche Ganich or Yilulei Yalil, right, or both, is a different Yevava when it's within the framework of Pshutos Lefaneha Al Acharel. And the mitzvah of Shmia is a different mitzvah of Shmia that has a different connotation and greater power, in my opinion, when it borrows Cheftza and even a framework from the world in which Tkia is the key mitzvah. And therefore, even if in Rosh Hashanah we say that the mitzvah of Tkia Shofar is Shmia, the producing of the call, the act of Tkia, is still more than a Hechatimtzi and more than a Hechsha. It is still an act of Yichus. On the Yovel side of it, at minimum, and not just the Yovel side, what Yovel brings to Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah, despite being dominated by Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah, from that point of view, the Maisa Tkiyah and the Baal Tkiyah is important. But I think that one could take it one step further, or one step less, depending on your point of view. Even if there's no Maisa Mitzvah, and even if we're not talking about the Yovel connection, or paying homage to the Yovel connection, maybe in general, but specifically in the context of Tkiyah Shofar, the hechatimtzi of producing the call takes on its own or assumes its own significance. After all, Rosh Hashanah is very much a day of initiative. We've spoken many times in the past about Rosh Hashanah being a super Rosh Chodesh. It's implied in the language of the Torah in Emor and in Pinchas, Yielachem, much more so than any other Moed. And of course it is a Rosh Chodesh, although the exact relationship to Rosh Chodesh is an important and an interesting issue, right? Bekesa liyom chagenu, eza chag shachodesh miskasebo. You do say, you know, you do mention the haskaros of the Karbanos Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Meshulam says you don't even bring the chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Many, many issues about the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. Again, we've spoken about them in the past. The point is, Rosh Hashanah is a day of lachem, of initiative. And it's a day in which basically every member of Klal Yisrael takes his destiny into his own hands. It's a gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Again, the Sefer Chinuch in his discussion of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim doesn't in any way dilute the Yiram Fachad of the Rambam, but says that it's a day of tremendous opportunity. It's a huge gift, and therefore it's also a day of tremendous simcha. Even the Rambam, right? Ein bam simcha yaseira, there's no hala. But that doesn't mean there's no simcha. On the contrary, the simcha is through the yira and the opportunity, the awareness of yira, the ability to cultivate the yira more fully, and the opportunity provided by that yira. In a way then, Rosh Hashanah is a special gift and opportunity for Klal Yisrael to take their destiny in their hands. I would say Hilchos Tshuva is divided into two parts, and right smack in the middle are the chapters of the Rambam about Bechira Chafshis, choice. Taking the initiative then, not just being passive and responding, but Habalas Taher Misayinoso is part of the opportunity of Aseres Yimei Tshuva generally, and that of course begins with Rosh Hashanah. Again, in the past I've spoken about, you know, how multifaceted and complex the day of Rosh Hashanah is, the most complex day of the Jewish calendar, right? Malchios and Zichronos and Shofros, everything, you have it all. Each one has a different meaning and understanding, and 10 explanations of the shofar, and the relationship between Tkiyah and Shmiyah. It's just incredibly wide-ranging and complex, and I think intentionally so, all to provide the individual with the opportunity to carve out his own approach within reason, of course, and within the norm to this particular day. But also so that each individual has the opportunity to take the initiative. So I think even though the mitzvah is Shmia and it's Yavava, but producing that call, even as a Heksher, maybe Dafka as a Heksher, is something which to which applies not only the regular Zriza Makdim in the mitzvos, but the kind of Zrizin that the Torah describes. Kol Echad V'Echad Yikach Chelko, everybody getting up early, racing to shul to try to get the in line to be the one to be the Baal Tekiyah. The special Yichus of Tekiyah Shofar, the one who's going to take that initiative formally on behalf of the Klal to create the Kol Shofar, which will then be used for the mitzvah, maybe for the Maisa and the Kiyum of Shofar. That's not a small matter in the context of Yia Lachem, in the context of taking that initiative, beginning or initiating a process in which one's destiny is going to literally be in one's own hand, in one's own hands. So if that's the case, maybe we can just go back to what we started with and appreciate the psak of the Trumas HaDeshen and the Ramah, if indeed they mean it in a preferred way. Even in the context of Yatza Motzi, and even though the bracha, the Nusach HaBracha, reflects the priority of the Shomea, even then, it's legitimate, and according to one minog, maybe even preferred, that the Baal Tekiyah be the one to make the bracha. And maybe not only the bracha of Lishmoa Kol Shofar, maybe even the Shecheyanu as well. Since he takes that initiative, since he is the one who produces the Kol Shofar, which will evoke the response, Tefillah response, Ginuchei Ganach Yilulei Yalil, so he is the appropriate one to make the bracha. And I think that this goes to the heart also of choice and initiative and the nature and the character of this day as well. I was going to speak, if we had more time, wrap up in just a couple of minutes, about the question of Tanis on Rosh Hashanah. Again, an issue I've spoken about in the past in a larger context, but I want to speak more specifically about the details of it today. There's a debate in the Gaonim, let's speak for 5 minutes about it, you know, whether or not one should fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. And there is one prominent view of the Gaonim that you fast both days of Rosh Hashanah, and you also fast on Shabbos Shuva. L'halacha, we paskin that we have Suda and Simcha. We don't allow fasting neither on Rosh Hashanah nor on Shabbos Shuva. However, the view of the Gaonim remains an intriguing one. And not only that, but it exerts some influence even on our Psak, our Shulchan Aruch Psak, even though we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, there are certain dinim that reflect the Gaonim's view, even though we don't accept the halach. For example, if you just look in the Shulchan Aruch, again, the Tur took an absolute stance, pretty much. Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Ochlin, Shosin, Smechim, Ein Letzanus Bo Klal. Then he quotes the Gaonim who argued. That's all he says. But the Shulchan Aruch, already in the Beis Yosef, is, you know, hedging a little bit. And in the Shulchan Aruch, it's perfectly clear that we begin with the language of the Torah, and then we begin the qualifications of Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Ochlim, Shosim, Smechim, Ein Mismanim, B'Rosh Hashanah. So far it's a quote of the Torah. But notice he dropped the word klal. Important to see the previous makaros sometimes to appreciate the little nuances. The word klal is dropped. V'lo b'shabbos shuva amnam. Okay, once you drop the klal, lo yochlu kol sva'am. Quotes us already in the Beis Yosef, the view of the Maril and others. Leman lo yikalu rosham v'tia yiras Hashem al pneiam. Okay? In the Nosa Kalim, right? Whittle it down further. Right, the Magid Mesharim, this is the Beis Yosef, right? In his dream conversations with the Magid. So, no basar and no yayin. Quotes the view, no basar, no yayin in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we don't pass it that way. That's what he says in the Magid Mesharim. The Magen Avraham here quotes the other views. Beis Yosef, Hevi B'Shem Kolbo. Second. I'm reading the wrong thing. Okay. Kasva Bach Shamarshal Lo Achal Dogim Rosh Hashanah Shu Chavivim Olav. V'Ratza L'Mai Tavasa B'Davar Mesuyam. He really liked Dogim, right? And therefore he didn't eat them on Rosh Hashanah. Chen Kasva B'Shalah B'Shmo. Bach said Lo Yulbash B'Godim Chashuvim Rak Levanim. And B'Bokram Shein Nogim Lulvash Levanim Lo Yulbash Chashuvim. Okay. Magid Meisharim, Parshas Nitzavim, Lo Lecho Basar, V'Lishtos Yayin. And if you read on in the Shulchan Aruch, it gets even more interesting. Yesh Mekomos, Shekabala B'Yadam, part of this is the Beis Yosef, Shekomi Sheroga Liyasanos Barash Hashanah, U'Meshana Rigiluso, Ve'eno Mesana, Eno Mashlim Shinaso. Ooh. In the Beis Yosef, he quotes the opposite Shita too. That even people who had this minhag, they shouldn't bother, they don't have to worry about it. But in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the view that Yesh Mekomos, Kabbalah B'Yadam, if you fast, but he just said that you shouldn't do it. And then the Rama adds, Mi She'eni Yara the Nafsho, Ein Tzorach Liyasanos Kol Yamav. Okay. Rak Tzorach HaTorah, Kemo Shar Nadarim. HaMesana Pamechad Barash Hashanah, Halacha Gimel, Tanis Chalom, Ima Yibiyam Rishon, Tzorach Liyasanos Shnei Yamim, Kol Yamav, Ima Yibam Sheni. This is again a big discussion. What about Tanis Chalom and Rosh Hashanah? So the Rama says, "V'ein tzarich lemesiv tanis l'taniso." Normally, if you have a tanis chalom on Shabbos, you have to have another tanis to ask kapara for having the first tanis on Shabbos, right? But when it happens on Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to do this. D'hayesh omrim to mitzvah l'tanis b'Rosh Hashanah. V'ein omrim aneinu b'Rosh Hashanah, etc. Okay. So the Beis Yosef again already discusses this. Says. But we don't paskin that way, so what kind of excuse is that? So he says, yeah, we don't paskin that way. But the fact that the Gonim said it, make it a Drora, I think he uses the language of Drora here, not Drora de Mamona, but Drora, I feel a hundred savri mitzvah lechol, moded leiskan Drora de bitel oneg Shabbos v'yomta. The Magen Avraham goes even further, in Sinin Kuf Peches, thinks it cut in Zion or Ches, where he says that if you're eating a meal on Rosh Hashanah, which it should be, so then you forgot to say Yalla V'Yavo in the benching. Are you Chozer or not? So the rule generally is that on a regular Moed, where there's a Chovas Suda, if you forget Yalla V'Yavo in benching, just like when you forget it in Tefillah, you're Chozer. Rosh Chodesh, since Iboy Achal, Iboy Lo Yachel, can't fast on Rosh Chodesh, but you don't have to eat Pass either Zochiv Suda. So in Rosh Chodesh, the rule is that in Tefillah you're Chozer, but in Birchas HaMazon you're not Chozer. So the Magen Avraham says that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you treat it like Rosh Chodesh. Not because it's a din of Rosh Chodesh, but because there are Gaonim out there who think that you can fast. If the Gaonim think you can fast, even though I'm Paskin like them, so then you don't have to be Chozer when you forget Yalavia. Wow. And some of the poskim after him said, wow, but we don't paskim like the Gonim. So, you know, you have to eat. And if you have to eat, you should be chozer as well. So what's going on here? What is this ambivalence? So I think one could explain it in several ways. One way is to explain, as the Ran does in one place and the Shagas Aryeh in another, the Ran discusses the question of whether you say tzidkas chatzedek. If Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't say Hal. Do you say it's Kasko Tzedek or not? So the Iran has like four deos on this question. You do say it, okay? you don't say it. We're mechalik between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Or you don't say tzedkascha because Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. And the Torah is Rosh Chodesh, you don't say it. Similarly, Shagas Aryeh tried to prove against the Gaonim. It must be that you have to eat on Rosh Hashanah, because otherwise it wouldn't be Heter Ochel Nefesh. The fact is, the Heter Ochel Nefesh proves that Zechi of Sud on Rosh Hashanah. However, says the Shagas Aryeh, maybe that's only because you can't fast because it's Rosh Chodesh. Maybe there isn't really a chi of suda, there's just a heter suda, the Torah's Rosh Chodesh. This is a question, and again, b'kesa liyom chageinu, to what extent are the regular dinei Rosh Chodesh operative on Rosh Hashanah? Or, the position that I prefer, which is that they may be operative, but when there's a clash between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, they're eclipsed, not just overridden, but Rosh Hashanah as the super Rosh Chodesh, you know, the Iber Rosh Chodesh, you could say. So you can't quote Dine Rosh Chodesh that are inconsistent with Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah, because it's already meeting its Rosh Chodesh requirements and is the paradigm for all Rosh Chodesh anyway. Anyway, that's part of the Rosh Hashanah as a Rosh Chodesh issue, which we're not going to discuss now. But that's one approach, that's one way to explain. There's a clash here. Rosh Hashanah would be like the Gaonim. But what can you do? It's Rosh Chodesh, and therefore you have to eat. But since it's a B'toras Moed, it really is a Yom Tzav. So it's not a problem. Many of these things are not a problem. We want to pay homage to both of these themes, to the Rosh Chodesh side, but also to the Yom Tzom B'tan. A second approach is to say that the clash here is not between Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, but between Moed and Rosh Hashanah. Right? When those who want to dismiss the view of the Gaonim about Tzom, you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's right. The Mordechai in particular, after all, it's a Moed. It's in Parshas Emor. It's called a Moed. Any Moed is subject to Simcha. You say Moedim leSimcha, Chagim leZmanim leSason. That's the view of Rav Sar Shalom Gon, right? And again, some disagree. It's a Moed. The Gra likes this as well. He always quotes that in this context and in others. But the truth is, that may be true, but then maybe it leaves us with the idea that Rosh Hashanah, there's a tug of war. There's Rosh Hashanah B'Toras Yom Tov as part of the regular din moed, part of the parsha of moedim, and then there's Rosh Hashanah b'toras, the specific kedushas hayom of Rosh Hashanah. And then, you know, in this battlefield, sometimes we give expression to a kind of yom yir v'fachad yom tzom, like halal, and other times you're going to have a suda because it's a moed. For example, take the Magen Avraham's issue, when the Magen Avraham says you're not chozer if you forget yalav yom. So I might explain. Right, even though this be din Rosh Chodesh, then that certainly makes sense. First approach. But even if you explain this way, are you chozer for Yalav Yavo whenever you have a Chiyuv Suda, period? And even if that Chiyuv Suda is only B'Torah's generic Moed Yom Tov? Or since you say B'Yom, you don't say B'Yom Moed Azeh, or B'Yom Mikra Kodesh Azeh, in the Birkas HaMazon. We say B'Yom Chag HaSukkos Azeh, B'Yom Chag HaMatzos Azeh, B'Yom Chag HaShavuos Azeh, B'Yom HaZikaron Azeh. In other words, maybe Chazara, in the context of Birkas HaMazon, is only based on the specific obligation of Kedushas HaYom for a Suda, not the generic one. So basically, we could go down the road, what about the clash in terms of Big Day Yom Tov, what about how much Suda, what about Basar V'Yayin, as opposed to not fasting? How do you manage, how do you negotiate the relationship between Rosh Hashanah as a generic Moed and Rosh Hashanah as a specific Kedushas HaYom? But I think it's also possible that there's a third element. And that is, in the specific Kedushas HaYom of Rosh Hashanah itself, even as far as that is concerned, there is ambiguity and ambivalence, or maybe just wide range and opportunity, an individual choice and initiative. Because Rosh Hashanah is such a wide-ranging day with so many themes, or that's a reflection of the fact that you have to relate to many things, and each individual can accentuate within that halachic range the things that need to be accentuated for himself. Again, I've said it years past, there's a third sheet or a fourth sheet on the Gonim, and that is it's not an obligation to fast, and it's not an Easter to fast. It's a kiyum to fast. If you want to fast, if you feel you should fast, you can fast. The view of the Gonim that you should fast is attacked from many points of view. Maybe the strongest attack is based on the Psukim and the Chemia. Psukim and the Chemia say, L'chu, Ichlu, Mashmanim, Shtu Mamtakim, Shuchu Manos Lein Nachon Lo, Ki Kadosh Hayom L'Adoneinu. It says clearly you have to eat. All the Rishonim who reject the Gonim, they quote this Psukim in the Chemia. But I think the point is as follows. Number one, there's this question of personal choice and need. It's a question of the wide range. But I think that there's another element, and this goes back to what we spoke about Yovel and Shofar and Hechsher, the need to take initiative and to make personal the process of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. Moreover, based on your personal circumstances, to try to find a way to express what the Rambam calls Ein Lem Simcha Yaseira Al Yimei Yir of Afachad, but again, I like to quote the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos even more. Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says that the Yir of Afachad, Hachna, Tfila, Trina, Tshuva, Mivrach, or Yira Mimenu, Mivrach, Manos, Elav. It's very important that the Yira, that is centerpiece of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is not one which flows from a sense of yeush or desperation, but is one which is consistent with a sense of confidence and with an even greater appreciation of the opportunities and the existing relationship nationally and individually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's the Yira, which is the Gilu Bira'ada, which is consistent with the Ivdu B'Simcha. Not the Yira and the Pachad, which is paralyzing, which is depressing. The Chinuch Simcha, and the rejection of Avelus on Rosh Hashanah, is an important element in projecting the proper kind of Yira on this day. I think that relates back to the Yovel issue too. The Yivava, the Bechi, and the Tzaka have to be wrapped in Pshuta Lefaneha, Pshuta Lacharaha, the Tkia of Nechefza Shel Shofar of Yovel, to give it the right perspective. The problem in Nechemia was that Klal Yisrael, either after hearing the Klalos or after reading about Rosh Hashanah in the reading of Ezra, Me'or Ad after Chatzos Hayom of the Sefer Torah, on that day, we're in a state of panic and Evel. The Bechi was one of Avelus. That's what we're told if you read the Psukim in the Chemia. And they were told, Avelus, that kind of Bechi is inappropriate. L'chu, ichlu, mashmanim, shtu mamtakim, shucho manos lein nachono, ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu. And the Mevinim and the Turgamonim there, what they needed to convey was, you have fallen short, and you have a lot of work to do, and it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's urgent, but urgent is not the same as desperate. The Bechi and the Tzaka of Avelus is inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah, because that's a paralyzing, and that's a Yiyush type of Bechi and Tzaka. That's one which, as Chazal say, is Mavdil ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu beinenu l'avinu shebashamayim. It's supposed to be in the context of Avelus. You're supposed to be paralyzed. But that's not appropriate for any Yom Tov, and not even for the Bechi, Tzaka, and the Yir of Afachad of Rosh Hashanah. It has to be the Yir of Afachad, which is Mivrachu Manos Elav, which leads to a closer relationship and bridges to implementing that closer relationship. Therefore, in that particular Rosh Hashanah, Klal Yisrael were told, this is my suggestion, Klal Yisrael were told that you really need to provide Simcha. There's one view in the Gaonim that says the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Simcha Vesuda. Then after that, the second day in Shabbos Shuva, so. Normally that's explained because Yom Tov Rishon is Daraisa, Yom Tov Sheni is Rabbanan, and then the Gonim and others had a big problem. What do you do with Shabbos Shuva? Is it better? Is it worse? We won't get into that now. That's a topic in its own right. But I always thought that the protocol itself isn't bad. You need the Yom Tov Rishon to be Besimcha Besuda, just like you need the Pshuta Sifana Ulachareha, you need the Chefta Shel Shover of Yovel, to establish that the Yira that will follow isn't a running away from and a yiush, but is one which is mivrach umanos elah. And for that very reason, basically, Rosh Hashanah is such an ambivalent day. Because even within its specific kedushas hayom, we really want to project the yira and the fachad, but we want it to be not out of desperation, but out of that sense of a more intense relationship. Again, I always like to conclude remarks at Erev Rosh Hashanah. I almost always quote the same Divrei Chazal, just because I like it so much. All the Rishonim and the Gonim who reject Tzom on Rosh Hashanah quote the Medrash of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. And they all say, Klal Yisrael's uniqueness is the way in which they relate to Din. Every other nation, again, Rosh quotes in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the Mordechai, every other nation, when they have a din, Loshim, Shchoros, Megadlim, Seyar, Mezakon, right, and Bochim, Mitzoakim, Klal Yisrael, Mikam, Chay Yisrael, Ba'aretz, the way that they relate to Rosh Hashanah is Loshim, Levanim, they cut their hair, it also says that they cut their beard, different topic, but they dress in nice clothes, Soadim, this is used against the Gaonim. Why? Because they have bitachon that although they're being done, the results will be good. And I think that it's not really a rejection of the Gaonim at all. It's consistent with the idea of the Gaonim. It provides perspective. The Yira and the Fafachad have to come even according to the psak that we take that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And for the Gaonim, who thought that maybe you should and could, certainly, it had to also be connected with this sense of confidence. And that's really the special opportunity of Rosh Hashanah. So I wish all of you a ksiva v'ksima tova and a shnas chayim v'shalom. And this is a process which begins Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, in one respect, it culminates on Yom Kippur, but achas v'shanah, as we've always said, obviously the real idea is to set the tone for the rest of the year and for all times that we be able to balance properly these features, not as a dialectic of contradictory ideas, but really those all working in one direction. Wish you all a good Yom.